Take your Bible now, if we'll, let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, if you have your Bible. And if you don't, I hope you'll just trust me, okay? But if you have your Bible, that'd be a better thing. 1 Kings chapter 10, we'll go there and read. Do what? All right, good. Got to keep an eye on people around here. You never can tell what they're up to. Yeah, all right. 1 Kings chapter 10, let's look, if you will, verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. And cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yard and a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites. And for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. We're going to leave off reading there. Before I go any further, let me say this. There are new sword of the Lord's back on the rail going around the sound booth. There's actually 2 different weeks worth, all right? They both came this week. Back in the early part of the year, they were running real late. Well, one of those back there is for March the 21st. They're doing real good this year, right now, all right? So you want to pick up a sword of the Lord, they're there. They're for you. I hope you will pick them up if you would and get them. From reading here in 1 Kings chapter 10, there's one thing that really ought to stand out. You can't miss it. Solomon was a very, very, very rich man. You read through this chapter, the word gold comes up 14 times in the chapter. If there was ever a golden age that existed, this was the golden age. This was the golden age. It was a golden age for the nation of Israel, and that kind of age never existed outside of Solomon's reign. Now, it was so much that way that I was thinking as we read this, we get excited with silver. We get excited with silver. But you notice what it said in verse 27, the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. I'd been a rock collector in that day, all right? But I mean, that's how things were. There was so much gold There was so much wealth, all right, that it was absolutely amazing. And I'm going to announce the message title now. The title is Trouble on the Way. Trouble on the Way. Now, you would think, preacher, how in the world could you come up with that from what we've just read? I mean, good lands, the country, you're talking about progress, you're talking about success, you're talking about growth. They had it, all right? I mean, it was a wonderful time of the year. But in the midst of all the wealth, the midst of all the splendor, truthfully, trouble's on the way. And I'll be honest, I believe trouble was on the way because of all the wealth that was floating around. I believe it had a hand in the trouble that was coming. And I preach this because it can do the same thing to me and you. It can do the exact same thing to me and you. Now, most of you probably sit there going, I don't have to worry about it, because I'm not going to have that happen. But you never can tell, all right? Back during COVID, the government started sending us money, you know? And maybe they'll start sending it again. I hope not, but could happen. And you say, why was trouble on the way? Number one, money often equates with trouble. You say, I don't see it. Well, the world usually equates riches with the answer to trouble, the solution to problems. And usually people look at it and think, if we just had more finances coming in, we'd be better off. And things would change. I mentioned, I don't know if it's in Sunday school or if it was in church service, most people live at their level of income. That's where you live. If you're making $80,000 a year, you spend $80,000 a year. We've gotten good in this country. You make $75,000, you spend $90,000, all right? But, you know, we get it going that way. We just, and if you get a raise, you don't start saving the extra. You just raise your standard of living. You start eating steak and caviar more often or whatever. But, I mean, people just increase their standard of living. We don't start saving more. The world doesn't do it. But because of that, a lot of people in the world are convinced that the only thing that can help them is more money. We can just get more money. And if we can do that. But man, when you get to the Word of God, it is amazing how many scriptures that really give out a warning in relation to riches. They warn us about it, all right? If you have your Bible, let's look for a little bit, okay? Look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37, if you would. Just look. We don't have to be in a hurry. I don't guess you got anywhere you got to be before sunup in the morning. So we won't be near that long. So you're safe, all right? Psalm 37, look, if you will, down in verse 16. The Bible says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, the truth of the matter is we'll read that and we'll say amen, but if we're not careful, we get to thinking, I'd sure like to have a little of the riches of that wicked man. I'd like to have it. So the Bible gives us just a little bit of taste. Take your Bible on further to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And just notice here what the Bible has to say, and it tells us something about money. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and having favor rather than silver and gold. It's better to have a good name, the Bible says, than to have great riches. But how many people do you know that would make that choice that way? Well, I don't care what my name is, I just like to have that money. But there's a warning in it, okay? Be careful. Take your back up to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Look what the Bible says here in verse 17. Not verse 17. Verse 7. Verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. I'm not going to preach on that verse, but there's a lot of preaching in that verse. A lot to be learned there, okay? There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Go over to Proverbs chapter 23, all right? Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, look if you will in verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I don't know about you, but I've found it doesn't have to be riches. Just a little bit can fly away, can it? You don't have to have great riches, boy, and it's just gone, you know? There it is. How many of you think, well, I'm glad I got that. It's already spent. You been there? You know, extra money came in, but you realize, hey, it's already spent. Got to pay this bill, got to pay that bill. Hey, there is a lot, man. Riches, they make themselves wings. You can trust the history of a lot of the lottery winners in our country. Man, they had tons of money dumped on them, but it wasn't long, it was gone. You hear about professional athletes that made millions of dollars and multiple million-dollar contracts, and yet you find them broke. Broke. Why? Because that money, boy, they make themselves wings, all right? Look, if you will, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look, if you will, in verse 13. The Bible says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. To their hurt. Look, the Bible's got a lot to say, a lot of warnings when it comes to money. You got to be careful. We get over the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is probably one of the most well-known verses that are in the Bible, even by people who don't know much about the Bible, but most of the time they misquote it, but we'll try not to misquote it, we'll just try to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, just the first part of that verse, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They've erred from the faith. Why? The love of money, because people coveted after that money. It's the root of all evil. Money, whether it be the abundance of it or the lack of it, is a root of evil. But it's because of the love of that money. All right? Now, it usually gets misquoted when people say money is the root of all evil. Not what it says. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's where people get into trouble, all right? And if you don't have enough, there's some folks that get into problems because they don't have enough. But there's others that the accumulation of great amounts of money gets them into problems, all right? Because it's the love of that money that brings so much grief. I've noticed in my life, money does strange things to people. Money does strange things to people. Sometimes it can turn very nice folks into pretentious fakes. Just absolutely pretentious fakes. Just because all of a sudden they've had a big, maybe an inheritance dumped upon them or something, and suddenly they've risen above all of their former friends and they're no longer good enough. Because, you know, you can't wear the furs that we can, all right? Hey, whatever, it does that to people. Others, sometimes it makes them completely self-indulgent, wasteful individuals. Man, they just indulge everything. They waste it like going out of style. Just waste it. I'm a firm believer in not wasting money. A firm believer in not wasting money. You don't have to spend it because you happen to have it. All right? You don't have to spend it because you happen to have it. It's okay to hang on to it, all right? Now, it doesn't happen to everybody with money. Everybody doesn't become pretentious fakes. Everybody doesn't become self-indulgent wasters of money. Hey, but it happens to a whole lot. Money can bring a lot of grief to you. Money can bring. Look, if you suddenly, the word gets out, you have a lot of funny money. Not funny money, but if you have a lot of money, okay. If word gets out you have a lot of funny money, you may be spending some time in pen. But word gets out you have a lot of money, you'll be amazed at how many kinfolks you suddenly have. Man, you know, we're your third cousin twice removed, you know, or something like that. It's amazing. Everybody claims to be kin, and the rest suddenly want to become your best friend. All because of cash, all right? I've listened to the stories of folks that have won great amounts in the lottery. And I was amazed at how, I'll never forget, this one fellow was a contractor. He had worked for years and years. He made this huge windfall in the lottery. And all of a sudden, people he had done work for sued him. They turned on him and sued him. Now, until they had all the money, they had been satisfied. But man, it brought a passel of lawsuits. That'll come. I've always thought to myself, now I'm not going to win the lottery because I'm not going to play the lottery, all right? By the way, for those of you that do, it's going up, all right? Tickets going up from $2 to $5, right? Now, if you want to be wise, put that $5 in an envelope, mark it for missions, and it'll pay better dividends, all right? So you can collect on that all through eternity. But I've studied and looked at it, and I thought about it. If I played and I won the lottery, and I found out, hey, this is the winning ticket, say, what would you do? I'd find me a lawyer first. And I would not, in some states, the way I understand it, they will publish your name whether you want to or not, but in other states, they don't, unless you're willing to let them. I wouldn't let them. And there's no way. You say, why not? Because you'll be beset with stories of every sad story, every person that's got woes. They'll be after you like nobody's business. They would be after you. And you'd listen to a lot of people that would be crooked about it. They'd lie to you, all right? And it's just amazing. Money can bring great grief to you. This particular contractor, I remember reading his story and hearing about it. Man, they began to sue him. His daughter became a dope addict, OD'd on dope, and died. And I mean, his life went to shambles. It'd have been so much better off had it never happened to him. Never happened. Now, we look at money, though, and we think it's the best thing. We look at that situation in Solomon's day, and we think, man, what a great thing, but trouble was on the way. Trouble was on the way. You say, why? Going to get to that before we get through, all right? It's talking money can bring a lot of trouble. Hey, the lack of money causes problems, okay? The desire to have it, that love of money causes a lot of people turn to crime. If you're alive, you've seen the rise of scams on every hand. I got a phone call today that told me there were some problems and some taxes and back taxes and everything with me, and I needed to call them, and they'd help me out. You got that call? Yeah, a lot of you have. I've got text messages telling me that this and that's true. I get emails that tell me that my account has been billed, you know, for like $1,300, and you know, and let you know about it. All of that scamming you. All of that scamming you. It's amazing to me how many people in this day have this intense desire for money, but they'd rather do anything under the sun than work for it. But they sure want to steal from you. I've told you, man, my mom was hit by a scammer. And that, it was months-long ordeal. Those people are experts at human psychology. They remind me of the folks that used to work in the carnivals and on the, you know, and get you to spend your money throwing a ring over a Coke bottle. I mean, they know how to manipulate people. Now, I listened in to some of those phone calls, and I listened as that bum talked to my mom the way he talked to her. And, you know, he was a great Christian because he had found out she was, so he was. And but all he wanted to do was get every dime out of her he could get. And he got it out of her. All right, hey, why? Because there's people out there. Why? It's a love of money. Do anything under the sun if I can just get that money. I want it. And some people turn to crime. There's all kinds of crime out there. But, boy, let me just say this to you. Watch out for scammers. Watch out for scammers. Especially the older you get. Watch out for scammers. They're after you. I've got to the point now that every time I get a phone call and hear a Middle Eastern accent, I want to grab my wallet. You know, and I love a guy with this heavy Middle Eastern accent says, "Hey, my name's Sydney." Yeah, in a pig's eye, your name is Sydney, you know. Or my name's Ted. No, it's not. You know, hey, watch out for them. Now, by that, I'm not meaning to indict everybody from that part of the world, okay? But it's just amazing how much of it comes there. Hey, listen, so often folks get money, and the money gets them. The money gets them. Take your Bible, let's look in Psalms again. Psalms 46. Psalm 46, if you would. Psalms 46, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Look in chapter 52, 52nd Psalm, if you will, verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now, you hang on and don't forget that verse. We'll come back to it. You want to leave your finger there. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. Verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You said, why, preacher, do you say, when we read there in 1 Kings 10, why do you say troubles on the way? Well, we'll be in 1 Kings 11. Pretty soon. And when you get there, trouble has arrived. Trouble has arrived. Go back there to, you're in Psalm 52. Go back there to verse 11. Because I think maybe here's the key. Here's what happens to people. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. Trusted in the abundance of his riches. Now, I said so often, folks get wealth, and then wealth gets them. We get money, and then money gets us. Money gets us. I don't know how many of you ever saw the TV program that was on. I have no idea why they would ever put it on, but it was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And man, you'd look at that, and you'd think, why? Well, that's what I did. You know, I look at, there's some huge mansions over around Dallas, and Man, they sell for over $100 million, and they've got all of these things in that house. Got all of these bedrooms, all of these bathrooms. They've got indoor, you know, tennis courts in some of them, indoor swimming pools. They've got all kinds of things. You say, oh, that'd be wonderful. Well, boy, sure not necessary, is it? And you just think about it. The excessive spending of people that have a ton of money, it's like they look for something. I've got to do something with it. And boy, they just start building a house bigger and better than the other guy. You know, and it sprawls all over everywhere. If you could sneak in, you might be able to live there for months without ever being known you were there. I mean, huge places. But there it is. What happens to those people? When money gets people, I believe you see this, they trust in the abundance of that riches. They trust in the abundance. I believe it's what happened to Solomon to some extent. You say, why do you think that? Because the Word of God lost its importance to Solomon. The Word of God lost its importance. Obedience to God got pushed into the background. The man that wanted to do what God wanted, the man that knew how to pray to get what he needed to rule his people, got it, and he got then their riches on top of it, and before long he's forgetting what God had told him to do. Hey, I've said it multitudes of times. You go knock doors in a gated community where million-dollar homes are, you have to shinny over the fence to knock the door in that community. Your welcome is going to be remarkably different than it is in a run-of-the-mill trailer park. Now, by the way, I don't have any problem with people living in mobile homes. There was a fellow that worked with my brother. I worked there one summer, and he always referred to modular homes. Modular homes. Portable. They were on wheels. Hey, nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it. That's great. Oh, you know, no problem. It's just amazing, though, that you knock doors in those different places. And some of those places, you're welcome. And other of those places, you can forget it. They don't need you. They don't want you because they're rich. And I've got plenty of money. I don't need God. He said, preacher, it never happened to me. Be very careful. Be very careful. I know some folks who used to be here every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday they were here in church. They were living across the railroad tracks in a mobile home. They were faithful to God. God began to bless. They got out of the mobile home. They got into a nice place. They quit coming to church. They quit coming to church. Can't get them to come. I think we get that. We see that happen with a lot of people. I don't need that. I don't need God. I don't need anybody, including God. Now, would they say that? No. But friend, it doesn't matter what you say. It's how you live that reveals what you do, all right, and what you really believe. It's how you live. Now, I love those folks, and I hate to see it. I hate to see it happen to them, all right? But man, it can happen to people that just get a little bit of affluence. I mean, these folks are not multimillionaires. I'm not saying that at all. But just get moved up a little bit, all right? It doesn't take great riches to turn people's hearts away from God. I believe that's exactly what happened to Solomon. Definitely, I believe, it's part of what happened to him. Man, the finances are pouring in. You don't find him praying to God anymore. You don't find him beseeching the Lord for the Lord's help. Man, things are great. The bills are all paid. That's not all. We've got money coming in. We've got so much money coming in, we'll make the fixtures in the bathroom gold. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but I've heard folks do that. Doesn't make any sense. Hey, nothing whatsoever. It's just amazing to me what money does to people. And I want to say this to you. Don't misunderstand the message tonight. It's not a message against you making money. Not a message against you striving to be successful financially. I hope you will be. I hope you will be. I like to see people move up the ladder. I like to see people able to drive in a new car into the parking lot. I'm glad. I rejoice with you. I'm glad that you making the payment, not me, all right? But I rejoice with you. I'm glad. It's not a message that, hey, quit striving to be successful. Just maintain the poverty line and you'll be better off. I'm not saying that. But I tell you this as a warning to make sure money doesn't get you. Money doesn't get you. And the desire for it. You know, the desire for it. I've known folks that I've known for years. And they didn't have hardly anything. Their home was livable. Okay? Their vehicles ran. But they would go to the Windstar Casino. I'm going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You folks, I haven't figured this out. You do understand they don't give it away up there? I heard a commercial tonight on TV for Windstar. I think they said they're not only the biggest casino in the world, they're the closest to us. Hey, I say this to you. They didn't grow like that because they were giving out money. They grew like that because people were hauling it to them and giving it. Hauling it to them and giving them. I never have understood that. It's irritated me in years past when I gave in to my own covetous desires and would go through the newspaper sales ads and think it'd be nice to have that, and I'd go buy it. And I had the money. I didn't have to charge it and take 6 months to pay it out. I had the money to buy it. And then I'd watch it sit on the shelf and think, you dummy, why did you buy that? Because the only choice I've got now is to put it in a yard sale. It's like new. As a matter of fact, it is new. Because this idiot bought it when he didn't need it, had no use for it. But I just kissed my money goodbye. Foolishness. Look, what I'm saying to you is don't let money become your God. Don't let it become your reason for living. You said, preacher, it'll never happen. I've seen it happen to people I thought it would never happen to. Just don't let it happen to you. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you see it happening, start giving. I don't mean, now you ought to already be giving. But if you see money beginning to get a hold on you, then start looking for somebody you can help. Just start looking for somebody you can help. And start giving it. And start just trying to be a blessing to everybody you can. Now, don't be here saying, well, preacher, I'm available to be blessed, all right? You know, hey, I'm serious about what I'm saying. Look for somebody that you can be a blessing to and be willing to do that. Not the person standing on the street with a sign. They can't be trusted either, all right? But, man, look for somebody that you know, that you're aware of, and that have a need. You're at the gas station and you see somebody counting their change to pay for a tank, pay for their tank of gas. I was down here at racetrack, oh, it's been a year or two ago, and there was a fellow standing in there, and I was buying gas, and this woman came in, and she was about to buy, and that fellow spoke up and said, I'm going to pay for your tank of gas. She said, why? I said, well, I just want to. I just think I need to do it. And what he was doing was standing there, and he was buying gas for people. Obviously, I didn't look like I needed it or something, but that was fine. I was thrilled that here's a fella trying to help somebody. Trying to help somebody. Look, if you find money getting its hold on you, you find somebody you can be a help to. You look for somebody that needs some help and give it to them. But don't you let that money get a hold of you and ruin you. When it happens, boy, trouble's on the way. Trouble was on the way for Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 10, things were marvelous, but trouble was right around the corner. Right around the corner. And one of the reasons I think money got him. And it'll get you. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen to you, all right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you tonight to just help us. Lord, we're just regular people. And Lord, we're tempted the same way everybody else is tempted. And Lord, the truth of the matter is I don't think anybody here that would object to having more money. But Lord, I don't want any of these folks here, and I sure don't want myself to be the victim when money gets me or money gets them. Lord, help it not to happen to us. Lord, help us never get in that place where we think, I can trust my wealth so I don't have to trust God anymore. Help that to never happen to us. But Lord, help us to always come to you. Lord, be with us now. Strengthen us. Help us to stay in your will and be faithful to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.